Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Our conversations with close to a dozen Native musicians through the year were full of some eventful moments. The music they shared inspired us and also taught us more about the different tribal nations that our Native airwaves reach each weekday. In this pre-recorded program, we check in on some of our 2020 music makers to hear where their musical path has taken them since we last talked. Stay tuned to hear more right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. An Alaska-based theater company is putting a Tlingit twist on a holiday classic. KMBA's Trip Krause talks with Perseverance Theater's playwright-in-residence about the production and how the theater has adapted during the pandemic.
At Christmas time, we bring you in for herring eggs. You are our friend. Oh, hemlock tree, oh, hemlock tree.
From the opening carol, viewers will notice a particular Southeast Alaska flavor to a Tlingit Christmas carol. Vera Starbard is a playwright in residence for Perseverance Theater and adapted the story.
If you enjoy a Christmas carol like I do, you'll recognize the story.
Scrooge is a successful CEO of a Native corporation subsidiary in an unnamed town. He's also a boarding school survivor, though Starbard says that element is intentionally subtle.
I didn't experience that, and I don't have the right to tell you that story without someone who's been there. But I did want to allow a look into that and a look into why our Scrooge is the way he is.
The largely Native cast and crew includes representatives from a variety of tribes and nations.
And we're all bringing our culture and our values into how we're creating this in the first place. And yes, that's reflected in the story itself as an Indigenous person who wrote it, but you see it in the acting and the choices that are made for the music.
Starbird says the access to other theater artists and communities also creates opportunities to change the industry.
If you can go in there and say, as Indigenous people who've been doing performing arts for thousands and thousands of years on this land, how have we built plays? How have we built these performing arts pieces? And you start to actually attack just how you even get to the sort of finished product of a play that people are seeing, it comes out very different.
Starbird says going virtual opened up more opportunities to connect with other artists, as well as offering productions to remote villages.
I'm really hoping that we also keep working on the Zoom or working on whatever technology comes out of it, because the accessibility of what we're doing right now is so much more than what we've been able to do before.
For more information, go to ptalaska.org. For KMBA News, I'm Trip Krause.
A University of Oregon professor has been recognized by a global organization for his book on the Dark Age of Cherokee history. KLCC's Brian Bull reports.
The Modern Language Association announced its latest MLA Prize for Studies in Native American Literatures, Cultures, and Languages. An honorable mention went to Kirby Brown, an associate professor of Native American Literature at the U of O and citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Brown's work, titled Stoking the Fire, Nationhood and Cherokee Writing, presents written works following the establishment of Oklahoma as a state in 1907, whereupon many aspects of the Cherokee Nation were dissolved, including its government.
Most scholars just viewed as this empty period where there wasn't a whole lot happening and there wasn't a solid sense of Cherokee nationhood. When I got into the actual literature from this period that Cherokees are producing, I saw how radically wrong that was, that nationhood is all over the place.
In 1970, legislation helped tribes reclaim their government, including the Cherokee. Brown congratulates MLA winner Christopher Pexa, a University of Minnesota professor, for his book, Translated Nation, Rewriting the Dakota Oyate. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Now, National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by AARP. AARP creates and connects people to unique tools and programs, helps conserve personal resources, and tackles issues that matter most to individuals, families, and communities. More at AARP.org.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm joining you from my homelands of Shirwisdoi via Skype on this pre-recorded Christmas Day special. This year was definitely like no other year for different reasons, including the coronavirus pandemic. We used our airwaves to connect with different Native lives to hear the stories that perhaps generations from now will look to the future. We'll see how the Native nation survived these times. Much like many of us with our ancestors, we look back to get insight how to handle some of the most challenging days this year. Among those that have stepped into our talking circle during these historic times are our music makers. Today we'll be joined by some of them to help us push through the rest of the year. And this special broadcast is being recorded on an important day for many across Turtle Island. It is the winter solstice, where we remember a lot, including our connections to the land and sky, as well as our ancestral roots. So we couldn't have picked a better day to let the music reign over our Native airwaves. Although we won't be taking your calls today, you are still invited to join us via Twitter. Our handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Last week, we welcomed the Red and Blues Band, who told us about their new album, Resistance is Fuel, which was full of songs that, as they say, were a direct response to continued brutality against Indigenous people. Lakota musician Rain Charger and brother and sister from the Pawnee and Creek Nation, Kahita Bernoski and Marcus Bernoski, were on the line. And the guitar solos that appeared on the different tracks of their album moved me and many of our listeners. And the blues rock rhythms also took us through November, with our visit with Joni and Eric Buffalo Head of the group Blue Dog. Their album Take a Stand also had lyrics that reflected some of the sentiment shared this year about the need to stand up and speak out. So this year we are starting our musical spotlight off with taking a look at what we did in January. Levi Platero, and he released a new album. It's a self-titled album, The Levi Platero Band. And Levi joined us from the Navajo Nation and told us about how he crafts his exhilarating blues rhythms and soulful lyrics. On that program, we were told of the different songs and that they were built for some time. And it was great to hear Levi tie his many years on the stage to this album that he said was him really letting loose. In February, Oglala Lakota language teacher Alex Fire Thunder, who understands the power of Indigenous words, gave us his album, Love for the Land. His album is definitely a mighty tool in the language revitalization movement that comes from the heart of Alex's creativity. And here is some of that beautiful Lakota language courtesy of Alex Fire Thunder.
Wagley Delong, Wagley Delong, Dakomani Wagley Delong.
And thanks to all of these groups for bringing us such powerful sound. And speaking of sound full of energy, let's go back to what our March music makers brought us. Here is Restless from their album Adult Children Part 2 by Lindy Vision. And with us today is Lindy Vision, which is made up of sisters who have a dynamic sound and a deep love of music. With us today are Jicarí Apache and African-American musicians, Dorothy, Carla, and Natasha Hovier. Thank you for us, ladies. Welcome. And Dorothy, I'll go straight to you. It has been quite some year, and just any reflections of how Lindy Vision has fared through 2020.
Hi, yeah, this is Dorothy. Thanks for having us again. Reflection on this year. I think that's a great song to play for this year. I think a lot of people felt restless. We felt a little bit restless, but we also felt we felt okay with taking the time off. We chose not to do virtual concerts and just we used 2020 as a time to reset and sort of just reevaluate, you know, ourselves as women, as a band. We just did a lot of reflection, and they were going public with this for the first time, but Natasha and I actually had babies this year, so we were pregnant during most of 2020. We delivered our babies in August, so that was pretty much all of our 2020, and so it was kind of nice as musicians. COVID's a huge pandemic, but it was nice to sort of, you know, have the break. We didn't have to choose between the music and our babies. It just happened naturally and forced on us, you know. So we took that time to reflect on our life and our family. And yeah, that 2020 was wild for us.
Well, congratulations to you both. And Natasha, how much has music taken you through these times?
I don't know if I could have gotten through these times without music. You know, it's really my resting place. Like, I find so much peace in music. And, I think this year we haven't been able, you know, we're still writing and still creating, it's been harder to get together. But, just being able to still create and write music and being able to listen to my favorite bands and take this time to sort of, discover new bands and new music. It's been really great during this time.
Very nice. And Carla, for you, just thinking about what your album has taught you and maybe have taught others, any more lessons you want to throw out there that Lindy Vision is sharing with the world?
Well, I think that this release that we had, the second part of Adult Children, part two coming out this year, I think that this album was, or this second part was well received by people, because I think the message that we wanted to kind of convey in it was that, you know, you can grow up with having parents that were alcoholics and you can still survive in the world and make it. And a lot of the songs kind of are just reflecting on that concept, is that, you know, you can have some problems but still figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot of figuring out. And Dorothy, anything you want to leave us with?
No, I just hope all of our Native and Indigenous people out there are safe and keeping their spirits up. And yeah, if you are, you know, suffering from substance abuse, or you have family members who are dealing with that, I hope that you, you know that you're not alone and that you can reach out. And there are people that are out there that can help you. So keep your heads up and keep on trucking.
Thank you for that. And Sasha, real quick, people want to follow up with Lindy Vision, where do they find you?
Yeah, we're on all major social media. We have Instagram, at Lindy Vision Music. We have a website up. We're also on Facebook. We have a Bandcamp where we sell, where we can stream our music and download our music as well.
Well, thank you for that. We will continue to follow the work of Lindy Vision as we get ready to start a new year, new calendar year. But if there were music makers that really touched your heart this year, we hope that you will reach out. You can tweet your thoughts to us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. This is our 2020 Music Maker in Review. You just heard from Lindy Vision. Coming up after the break, we're going to introduce you to some more music, as well as hear from our artists the rest of this hour. And we enjoy any time that we get to hear these stories, because we know that they're giving us more insight into who we are as Indigenous people. And definitely that album we just featured from Lindy Vision, a view into resilience that comes out of our nation. And ladies, just want to thank you again for being with us here on our pre-recorded Music Maker in Review. There is more ahead, but if there is music that you are also looking forward to in 2021, you can tell us about it. You can even leave comments directly on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. We always enjoy hearing from you. And musicians, if you're out there, reach out to us. Let us know what you got planned for 2021. There is more ahead here on Native America Calling. Hang tight. There's more ahead.
Whether it's politics, science, Native culture, or entertainment, the news stories that impact and affect Native communities are what you'll hear right here on Native America Calling. Join us as we bring you the nation's first and only electronic talking circle, Native America Calling, live on Native Voice One, the Native American radio service.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Mesota Pueblo. It is our 2020 Music Maker in Review. Running through the honored times we got to spend with our Indigenous musicians this year. And today is pre-recorded, so our phone lines are closed down. However, if you do want to reach out, you can always send an email. Our address is comments@NativeAmericaCalling.com. The voice of Kanaka singer Havani Rios leans on her upbringing of traditional hula and chant. And her latest release, Kukiai Mauna, Together We Rise, filled our airwaves in May, which features songs like this.
Thank you. The month following our visit with Havane, we connected with Wambui Cheya, or Juke, to hear about his album Mia, and it was a great intersection of contemporary sound, and we asked him back today. And he joins us from the Pine Ridge Nation. Our pleasure to have him here, Juke. Thank you for joining us here on Native America Calling.
Awesome, awesome. How's it going?
Oh, hey. It's going. And Juke, I want to just give you a moment to further introduce yourself. Shout out to your community. Go for it.
Hey, how madakli epi, wambli chaya machi api alo. In Lakota, my name is Kyan Eagle. And I'm an Oglala Lakota singer-songwriter based on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, home of the Oglala Lakota Nation, Oglala Oyate of the Ocheti Shakone, the Seven Council Fires. And, I feel like that's a proper way to say that. As a singer-songwriter, I go by Juke, and I dropped a new project this past month, and it's pretty crazy, I guess.
Well, Juke, we thought it was really important. Generally, what we do on our Music Maker in Review, just kind of pull back some of those moments from the years past with all of our music makers, but we know that this is definitely an unprecedented year. So we wanted to make sure that we checked in with our musicians because we know that the history you're bringing forward, and I guess the future you're creating with your songs too, are really vital. And for you, Juke, is there anything you want to share about the impact of this year and how maybe things have changed in your life or things that were put on your path that you have overcome? Anything you want to share, Juke?
Absolutely. Towards the end of 2019, everything was kind of starting to come alive with the pandemic gradually, I had openly, owned up to who I was, that I was bisexual and polyamorous. And within the story of the Oglala Wolf Puppy with PTSD that exists in my music, I felt like it was needed for me to explore everything and to be so upfrontly real. And when things really took a turn, everything was getting locked down and all this stuff, it really forced me to confront everything and to confront things that I had felt towards, Lakota women, towards indigenous women as a whole, towards, my personal experiences in my love life, towards other men and the things that had taken place. And this new project was sort of the catapult of that, of, owning up to how I had seen things when it came to women and wanting to be so upfrontly real and just be honest, and really like own up to different experiences that I felt like I wasn't ever really, I didn't know if I would ever own up to and then talk about a lot of things that I think are plaguing, our women as a whole and kind of emphasize sort of my space of wanting to just be a good man in every situation and any, relationship dynamic that I'm sort of presented with. And when I'm speaking from my cadence, it's definitely different. I feel very underrepresented as a whole, because I had never seen myself in the situation that called for just one person. And acknowledging that and acknowledging my own culture and how it views sort of non-monogamy, as well as same-sex relationships or different stuff like that, it calls back to this narrative of like, we were already so accepting and open to the kind of alternative dynamics, and being able to cover that and to even kind of continue to explore that with my next project, it's something that I really wanted people to have, and I wanted to also be just real and cover everything, I guess, acknowledge the love, the sexuality, so on and so forth, and just be myself. And I want people to have that. And I want people to have, like, you know, to see that. I felt like this was sort of, you know, important to that, regardless of what's been going on. And I know my community has been struggling with the pandemic pretty heavily. And we've lost a lot of elders, a lot of fluent speakers, you know, our knowledge carriers, so on and so forth. People who had helped me open up, you know, own up to who I am and had articulated this stuff to me and helped me realize that I also was just young, that I'm just young. And I want other people to explore themselves and to realize themselves as well. And everyone's journey, you know, is sacred in their own rights and in their own spaces.
You're bringing a lot of empowerment to all of this. And the fact that you are exploring through the music and sharing your story through these sounds, this gives, you know, our storytelling, why we call music storytelling as well, a lot of strength, because the things that you're making now, and we hear from a lot of our song makers that these songs come through them and then they become gifts to the people. And I can see how this gift is really helping, especially to uncover themes. And it just seems to be something that many of us are facing this year, this uncovering or pushing forward or letting our full voice be heard. And it's really encouraging. And Juke, you came to us today with a gift, one of the songs off of the new album. And I want to go ahead and play that now. This is Star by Juke.
A love story is valid. A love story is real. What we got is so iconic. We are the biggest deal.
Ever since I met all of you, I feel so aligned. Ever since I fought for all of you, it's a no gonna time. Somehow I was broken, really born in fragments. All of you got a piece of me. Just a puppy and his hands that I don't want it. We don't got a voice in.
Have it, a brand new one by recording artist Juke, who joins us today on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And Juke, just hearing that and then hearing your voice today and speaking, it's interesting where you kind of open up and you know, just sharing your voice so strongly with some of these contemporary sounds I know is welcomed by many people. And anything you want to share about, you know, you gave us What Rest in this album, and how you've matched it with, you know, some of these sounds, as opposed to maybe a drum song or opposed to some thrash metal. Tell me more.
Of course. I think with this album, and especially with this song, Star, it was just, I feel like the biggest thing that I want to be able to cover is, like, being able to articulate a lot of different things kind of in once, you know, incorporating my language, so on and so forth. It's like, I just wanted to be more open. I just wanted to be able to sit there and with this album, there was a lot of things that I felt like I was so uncomfortable with saying, so many, like, expressing sort of like an alternative relationship dynamic and so on and so forth. It was definitely something that I felt like it was heavy for me and recognizing like I've always been someone that had like this ability to navigate different sounds. And that's, I feel like I never saw there was anything truly like wrong with like doing that. Like, you know, like being able to articulate these different realms and acknowledging the sort of diversity that was already kind of like amongst my people prior to colonization, so on and so forth. You know, it just kind of sheds light on a lot of that. It sheds light on that ability to just kind of be free flowing and that even stuff like this, stuff like the music, this kind of music can be, you know, helpful. And I just wanted to be able to expand that and continue to be someone helping to kind of further, you know, indigenous music as a whole and like inspire people to get crazier with it and have more fun and also be more authentic to every experience that can be had rather than, I guess, responding to statistics or responding to a lot of the woes that do plague our communities. You know, I want to be able to always acknowledge that there's that opportunity to fully live and fully have fun, even in the process of, you know, cultural and language revitalization or getting to sobriety or working through your traumas, that like a lot of living can still be done and a lot of fun can still be had and so on and so forth. And I feel like this sort of album and along with, you know, I think what I've been doing in general, but what's coming forward as well is just a continuation of that, regardless of what's going on. We can still live, we can still grow and make our environments better, you know?
Sure. And Juke, when you look back at 2020 and your community, which I know is very near and dear to your heart, is there anything that you want the world to know that happened in your community this year, that something you don't want to get missed? Anything you want to share?
I think that with what this year has been as a whole, there has definitely been a lot of progression in amidst, you know, I guess the heartache, you know, like I had mentioned earlier in regards to just who we've lost, in regards to the situation, in regards to even how South Dakota specifically has handled the pandemic. It's definitely opened our eyes in like the biggest way possible, pertaining even to the election, so on and so forth, of I guess like the impact that when we choose to own our voices and own our presence, a lot of that has been, you know, revealed in a really, really big way. And I feel like that momentum, you know, I don't think it gets to stop. I feel like that momentum doesn't have any right to stop anymore, you know, like we can only continue to make everything change for the, like, in the best way possible. And I can see that with my Ogallalas on my res, you know, as well as, you know, all the Lakota reservations in South Dakota and even pertaining to our Black Hills. You know, the whole land back narrative it doesn't seem too crazy anymore. You know, the whole concept of getting our Black Hills back doesn't seem that crazy. And I think all we can do is just keep pushing. And I think that the perseverance showed, I think, in this year is like just a testament to that. And I think it's only going to make us feel more obligated to show ourselves more love than we've ever shown and to show others that same thing.
And we can do this through, yeah, we can definitely do it through music. And Juke, as we get ready to go to another break here, of course, where people can find you, and any final comments, about a minute.
Of course. I'm not the biggest person on social media, but I am on Facebook. I usually, like, my Lakota name is Wamblicheya, WANBLICEYA. My artist name is Juke. And, yeah, I'm on all major streaming sites, all of them, iTunes, Spotify, and I'm on SoundCloud and YouTube. Yeah, and I've got a lot more stuff coming, so feel free to look up everything.
Well, we wish you the best as you continue to make more music, and I really appreciate hearing this, these sounds and these voices once again. And we got one more voice to introduce you to coming up after the break, but We also want to know what you're thinking. Maybe the music has been what has gotten you through 2020. What songs were they? What albums? What artists? Any genre. Tell us about it. Tweet it to us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. We look forward to hearing how the music has also helped you maybe even understand more about your own community, maybe even helped you pick up your language. All those stories are welcome. Again, you can always post on our website, nativeamericacalling.com. Coming up after the break, we are going to go to another place on Turtle Island, a special place where music makers are strong. You don't want to miss it, so hang tight as we get ready to bring you more of our 2020 Music Maker in Review.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the SAMHSA-sponsored Opioid Response Network, working with tribal communities across the nation to address the opioid crisis. Breaking the cycle starts with preventing opioid misuse, treating opioid use disorder with medications and counseling, and recovery support during all phases of recovery. If you or a loved one is challenged by opioid use disorder, you can find additional information at aaip.org.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are really enjoying everything the music is bringing us today, even a moment to catch up with some of our music makers of 2020. Also, something that happened this year was a musical treat from Mr. Keith Sekola, Anishinaabe recording artist. We decided to also open up our airways to him to connect and also find out about his latest project, his podcast that he put out. We caught up with him in November, where he gave us the background as well on his iconic song, Indian Cars. And he also gave us one more treat, a song that is so appropriate for the season. It's called Every Day is Christmas, and here it is, going straight to you.
Every day's Christmas, every day's New Year's, Halloween, and Valentine's Day. Hanukkah and Earth Day, Mother's Day and Father's Day, every day, Indigenous Day. You and I was meant to be on the same side, upon the same ride, forever in our about the same age, forever in our dream. Every day's Christmas, every day's New Year's, every day's a holiday in cheers. Cheers! Banquet, your birthday, every day's a new day. Every day's the best day of the year. Forever in our dreams.
you're enjoying are present to you, our Native Sounds, the Music Makers of 2020. And thank you to everybody we heard from this year, including Carrie Morin of the Apsaluga Nation. He brought us his album, Dockside Saints. And if you need to hear any of these past interviews, you can find it on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. August also gave us the sounds of Angel Baribu and her album, For Those I Loved, and Choctaw musician Samantha Crane brought us her album, A Small Death. And right now, it is my honor to bring back another strong Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe voice and vibrant songmaker who joins us today on the line out of Minnesota in Deer River. We have Annie Humphrey. Annie, welcome to Native America Calling. Thanks for being with us once again.
Thank you. It's really cool to be back.
And Annie, wow, since we last featured your album, so much has happened. And I know that you definitely are from a strong community who sees this time of year as a true changing of seasons and things we need to remember to bring back the light when that darkness gets really dark. And just want to give you a moment to just share, you know, in this special time, your thoughts and maybe even how the music plays right into these lessons we were given to us from our ancestors.
Well, you know, something really big happened in my life, and I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, is I had been taking care of my dad for about 14 months. He had Alzheimer's, and, talking about teachings, you know, they say the last lesson our parents teach us is how to die. And so my dad deteriorated, and I brought him to my house for hospice, and he was here 5 days. And, you know, when I had time to say thank you, and it was really peaceful, and it was really, I mean, the teachings that I learned from my dad without him even speaking to me. And it brought our family together. And I mean, it was this huge event, you know, and it was devastating. And I found like people felt really bad for me. And I would say, no, it was peaceful. It was a good thing. And it was really good. And I miss him, but I'm not, I'm still going. I'm still going. And everything he taught me is, I worry because he knew so much, and we lived this kind of lifestyle, this life of the land and resources, you know. It was something we did every year, every season without fail. And so I have this whole year ahead of me where I'm kind of on my own, you know, and I'm going to have to see what I can remember before he can come back and help me remember. But, you know, in this time, it happened all in this time, you know, things just keep happening, and, you know, the helpers come and go, and it doesn't matter. I'm not being insensitive, but, you know, the earth and the world, you know, the natural world and the things that happen are going to happen, you know, woven inside of this pandemic and what's happening in society. You know, the natural world is still like just cruising along, and it always will.
And Annie, I know it was really important too to have this time with your father. And when you say, you know, being together and understanding, also making peace with the lives that we've lived and the relations that we've had, and to understand that you feel this way, you know, as you look back and think of the lessons that are in your heart, I know that is really, you know, something that when we are moved this way, we move even stronger into and down further into our past. And of course, my thoughts are with you and all of your family, you know, who are feeling this loss, but are also celebrating everything that you were given in your lifetime. And I know he was really instrumental in teaching you and introducing you into music or what you could do with it. And when we hear your music, we see how far you've taken, you know, those initial sparks of seeing what your voice had to do or what your voice could do when it spoke story to the people. And so what a powerful moment. And Annie, I really appreciate you being with us here today. And when we featured your album this summer, there were a lot of lessons that I took away too. And there was one song in particular, Adzukan, that really made me think about the lessons we get. And I want to give folks just a taste of that, because it's so important to hear when your voice really lets go. And you know what? I'm going to share that right now. This is Annie Humphrey, Adzukan. So, Annie, as we think of everything that music teaches us, any more lessons you want to give us today?
Well, obviously, you know, my dad passed away on October 22nd, and it's just I wake up thinking about it, because my kids, they think I know what he knows, and they'll say, "Hey, Mom, you know, how we do this or how we do that, and when are we going to start this, and when should we, Mom, teach me how to use a chainsaw." I mean, I can do them things, but my dad used to do it all, you know. And so musically, I, you know, as musicians, and like we kind of evolve, and the music reflects our life at the time, and you kind of can't help but do that. It's kind of therapeutic. So it's about writing where you are now. And what I tried, you know, of course, after Dad passed, I was trying to write a song, you know, how could I help people relate, you know, people taking care of a parent with Alzheimer's, or, you know, how can I bring attention to this, and how, you know, and I was trying to write lyrics, and, you know, I tried, and I just couldn't. So I got on the piano, and I was able to try to, and I hope it's successful. I wanted to express how it was, having to take leadership, kind of the parent role over my own dad. I couldn't do it at first, so that was a transition. And then through the piano piece, it kind of travels through, okay, now I can tell Dad. I can let him know what we're going to do with our day. I can, you know, tell him, Dad, you have to eat your breakfast. Dad, you have to eat your breakfast to be strong. And, now, Dad, you can't go outside right now because, you know, and that whole thing that happened, and the music piece goes into, like, it's hard to play chords that don't match whatsoever. It's hard to play that because your ear's like, oh, this isn't music, but it's my dad's mind, and the confusion and the cloudiness, and I don't know. I just feel like, Dad, thanks, man. You're helping me to, like, reach further, and you're helping me to, like, do something that I would never do, you know, without this experience. So, yeah, musically, it's...
Wow. And, Annie, I think, you know, just like what I heard with Duke as well, of all these moments are pushing us into hearing new things, or even be able to just understand more about our world. And I really appreciate you being here with us today. And this quick check-in with our artist has been very inspiring, giving me the fuel to get us through the rest of 2020 and even on this special day. Thank you very much. We got to wrap things up here. Annie Humphrey, thank you for being with us. Also, thank you to Duke and Lindy Vision for also giving us their words today. And, of course, all of our music makers of 2020. And thanks to our crew here at Native America Calling, executive producer Art Hughes, senior producer Monica Brain, associate producer Andy Murphy, and Marino Spencer, our engineer. I'm Tara Gatewood. Thanks for being with us today. More ahead here on Native America Calling as we go into the new year. Thanks so much.
Megwa and Webi Eg, Gogwejum Gidinawe Maganag in a Munji Owad, Gishbin Gikendaman in a Munji Owad, Nawaj Dweni Panad, and Akunagayan Yo Owaj Jagain the Gunawendagwasian. Gonojeno Kid in a Shinabe Akwasi Wagamigung, Nawaj Jigikendaman, Mawadishiwain Healthcare.gov, Gamaganoj 1-800-318-2596, Gaundinagadeg, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's AMERIND.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.